Today's November 6th, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $101,556.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Man, does it feel like the White Snake song?
What, Still the Night? Or Here I Go Again?
Here I Go Again. Here I Go Again. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm feeling. I don't know. Initial reaction. What's your reaction to the price action that we got going on?
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. I know, it just felt like things kind of collapsed for a bit last week, and then they started picking up some steam, but got up to what?
About the 116 last week?
116 on the 29th.
You know, so it was building back its momentum, and then it tanked again, and it even crashed below 100,000 here, at least briefly.
Yeah, I think we got down below, we got as low as I think like 98.6, right in that range, depending on what chart you're looking at. And what I thought was crazy interesting about that was that crash, that all that uptrend that was starting to build again, it was after the Fed announced their rate cut.
Yeah.
Had the complete inverse effect of what I think most people would assume would happen with a Fed rate cut like that.
Yeah, well, I think the market's spooked. I think we kind of have a feeling that, I mean, I've been saying it, we've been in a recession for a while. We just haven't really recognized that fact. We haven't come to terms with that.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be what's going on. And yeah, everything just feels like a massive bubble right now.
Yeah. No, it is a weird time. Like I said, everything was looking pretty good. It looks like we were looking at the ETF charts a little bit earlier before we started recording. And 21st, we had some nice inflows. It wasn't anything crazy, but it was like $500 million there. And then it looks like 22nd, a little bit of a sell-off. Then it was kind of slow, the 23rd and 24th. 27th, we had $149 million worth of inflows. And then the 28th, $202 million. And then the day that the rate cut happened, we saw almost $500 million get sold off in a single day. And then the following day, the same thing. So the ETFs have just been, they've been bleeding out consistently. And this is across the board on almost all the ETFs. Even our good buddies at Grayscale. Although in a turn of events on the 31st on Halloween, Grayscale had positive inflows while the rest of them had negative.
How did that even happen?
I don't know. It wasn't much. It was 6.9 million, it looks like. So, yeah.
Got to celebrate the small victories. These times.
Yeah, I bet you Grayscale's taking a victory lap on that one. So, what is that doing to our theoretical purchases? I'm curious.
Oh, theoreticals. Okay. I mean, still not doing too bad. So, first theoretical purchase back in October 2023. If you would have put down $3,000, you would have got 0.0885 Bitcoin, and at today's price, that $3,000 investment's worth $8,988.
Okay.
Which, it's almost triple, but, you know, for the longest time, it was more than triple, and now it's below triple.
Yeah.
Yep. And we even saw a date where it was over $10,000, like approaching $11,000, I thought, if I remember correctly.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, that's still, you're doing pretty good. You can't complain at that price.
Yeah.
Or at that kind of results. Now, the second theoretical purchase at the last halving in April 2024, if you had put $1,000 down, you could have purchased 0.01564 Bitcoin. And that theoretical purchase is now worth $1,588. So, 58% price increase.
Well, I mean, it's not it's not great by any means, because I think that actually did get to double at 1.2, probably when the other one got to almost 11,000, right? If we go back and look at some of those.
Yeah, it got pretty close to double.
I've got to go back to and look.
Yeah, at the halving, when we did that theoretical purchase, Bitcoin was right at $64,000. For it to double, it'd have to get to 128, and we've not quite touched that.
No, and it looks like it doesn't look like we've actually doubled when we've recorded. The highest it looks like was 1,884.
Yep.
Is that right? No, we got 1,933. 1,933 is our highest.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's really close to double.
Yeah, and then the first one, man, that was a golden goose there. That one was $10,939 that day.
Yeah.
It's
man.
That just first one, man.
That's 3 months ago.
Yeah. That is so wild, too. So wild. Like this year, like when you think about that, like this year, from even like a fiscal standpoint, like even we are, you know, in my fiat job, I call it, we're basically like looking at the year end, like projects are slowing down. Like we're taking on what we can. Things are going to start, like we're going to stop taking on new projects until 2026 at this point, kind of thing. Right. So it's like this year is done. And, I don't know, the market just seems like it's in turmoil. And I mean, seeing those prices like that, there's still decent returns, but it's not what you would expect to see returns of Bitcoin on.
Yeah.
The 2023 one, beautiful. But after that, yeah.
Yeah. It was beautiful at that point. But I think a lot of people are really tired. They were expecting certain things, and we've definitely not quite lived up to that. I mean, we did cross the six figures, but we've been above six figures for the most part.
Yeah.
Past several months, but man, it's been a bumpy ride, and the falls seem to be quicker than the pullbacks are better than the upswings.
Yeah.
Are not better, but
they're worse. They're more dynamic move than what we would see in the price increase, right? Like we haven't seen that crazy explosive move in the price up. We've seen some decent moves, but it hasn't been that crazy, like face melting, oh my God, euphoria state. And we've talked about that repeatedly. This has just been such a different cycle, or at least the feeling of a different cycle. And I think you brought up a good point of that, is that so much of this happened prior to the halving, which doesn't happen.
Yep, that's the first time. And that's what makes this bull cycle just feel like it's so much longer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a grind. I mean, and not in a bad way, I don't think. I mean, because you were kind of talking about that before too. Like, I mean, we had Bitcoin crash below 100,000. Oh my God. Like, it's kind of... It's funny, but at the same time, it's like, wow. I don't know. I still feel like retail is largely absent. Well,
when we recorded a year ago, right after the election, or did we record basically a day after the election?
I think so. I think, yeah, I believe we did.
And actually, yeah, it was a year ago to this date. The price was $75,324.
Yeah.
And we were pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that was a pretty big move off. I mean, because that was, we broke through the bull market doors. Like that was it, right? Because we peaked that 69 nice that we had from the previous cycle.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I don't know. I don't know how to feel about a lot of this stuff right now. The markets, you know, they're pinning a lot of what happened with the price of Bitcoin on concerns over an overinflated AI stock market, kind of like what we saw when DeepMind? Is that the name of the Chinese?
DeepSeek.
When they came out and then it tanked the OpenAI price and like just anything AI in general, like kind of got tanked during that. So, I mean, there's concerns about that. And it all seemed to coincide with that Fed rate cut, which, I mean, obviously shows the Fed is seeing concerns in the market or cracks. There's a lot of exhaustion out there, it seems like, from, you know, especially in the Bitcoin market. And it looks like a lot of whales are selling, which typically when the whales start selling are the long-term holders that are the whales. That's usually when our market has peaked.
No, that's usually the best sign. So, I mean, does that mean the ride is over this cycle?
I don't know. This cycle is so weird. Traditionally, yes, there's, I think, what they call the Pi cycle indicator. I would want to see what that chart's doing right now, because that typically calls the tops. At least it has ever since Bitcoin's been created. I'd be kind of curious to see what that's showing right now. Like if it's flashing, like, hey, it's done. Ethereum dropped. I mean, but even it didn't have its explosive move, really. We've got, like, there's been hardly any type of a crypto market other than Bitcoin for the most part. Nothing has seen huge gains. Like, we have not had that, oh my God, I'm a genius, I bought this crap coin and it went up 1,000x. Like, that stuff has just not been happening.
Yep. No, if that's the biggest downturn is if you're kind of an altcoin guy, man, there's been a few coins that have performed well, but that's few and far between.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you were rug pulling somebody or there was something like that that happened. Like, I haven't heard anything that's just been like, oh my God, I've made so much money off of this market this time.
Hawk Do It did okay, but that's about it.
October, I mean, what, we just closed the month of October a few days ago, and we didn't have Uptober, which has historically always been a great month for Bitcoin. The only time that it wasn't was in 2018. So now 2018 and 2025.
Yeah, we're going to add that to the list. Yeah, Uptober is upside down.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And what's crazy, though, is it started off with a bang.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the government shutdown happened. Remember, because I remember you were tweeting about that. It's like, it looks like the government shutdown's not phasing Bitcoin.
No, I said it was good for Bitcoin because it jumped like $4,000 like in the morning. I was like, dang.
Yeah. Yeah. And when that was during that time that we got up to 126, right? Like the all-time high. Yeah. So then we had the Fed rate cuts by 25% or 25%, a quarter, 25 basis points. So it's now below 4% and it's the second cut this year. We still have one more Fed meeting coming up. So I'm kind of curious what they're going to decide. But you even mentioned like the Fed is kind of flying blind with a lot of their data because the government's still shut down.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit convenient for the current administration.
Yeah.
Jobs data, GDP data, all that kind of stuff. We're not getting any of it. So I'm pretty sure if we were getting that data, it was either going to be bad news or it's getting cooked again.
I don't know. The markets, even like when you're looking at the S&P, the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones, they're all in the red today. I mean, not huge amounts, but those ones, you know, 1% loss. Gold is back below 4,000 again. Ethereum, it's not doing well. Yeah,
it's doing well.
No, it's, I don't know. Everybody's saying that this may be mirroring. And again, I know we talked about this a little bit ago, but the AI bubble is about to pop is what they think.
Well, Michael Burry put a huge bet on that, I guess, here recently.
What did he bet on?
He was betting against, what was it? Palantir and Nvidia. He's put a massive short on those two. And I guess just AI in general.
Well, so, he's, we'll have to see what happens with that. Like, I mean, are we done? I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to. But I think, there's still something to be questioned about. Like, we talked about, you know, the Fed and kind of their decisions, and it sounds like they're saying they stated publicly December 1st 2025, quantitative tightening ends.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's been true quantitative tightening.
No, they've been printing stuff.
Our federal government's having. Yeah, they have to print to make up the difference.
Ray Dalio recently warned that the Fed is stimulating the economy into a bubble. So, I mean, they're saying one thing, they're doing something different on the back end. Man, I don't know. I don't know if this is done or not. I don't feel like it's done, but I have been notoriously wrong on the Bitcoin markets.
Yep.
Every cycle, I always get it wrong. So.
You and me both, Hans.
I may not be the guy to ask.
Yeah, you're probably not. Actually, well, do the magic eight ball, and if it disagrees with you, Hans, I'm trusting it better.
I'm always wrong on the top. Like, I can't call it save my life.
Well, the thing that I want to point out with Michael Burry, though, is he made a bet kind of similarly back in, I think it was like end of 2023, early 2024.
Yeah, we did an episode on that.
Yeah, and he got liquidated. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, his shorts have not been paying off for him. He did amazing in 2008. Because he really did call the real estate market and all those, you know, banks associated with it. So, but his, he doesn't exactly have the Midas touch when it comes to shorting.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, it remains to be seen. I do kind of agree with him, though. I do think, the economy's been lagging for quite some time. I think it really has been in a recession sometime during Biden's administration. We've just stayed on that same track. But as that old saying goes with markets, is the market can stay irrational a lot longer than you can stay solvent.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I mean, I think you're right. Like, we have not seen the only thing I think in the market that has actually kept everything afloat has been this bet on AI. Because I mean,
yeah. No, that's really the only leader. Otherwise, if you minus all the AI stocks, we've been basically flatlined or declining, you know,
ever since. Yeah. I mean, but the big thing with the AI stuff is that it's affecting data centers, right? Because they've got to build more data centers. It's affecting power. So, I mean, it's a large play.
Mm-hmm.
And all the infrastructure that goes along with, you know, these data centers and those types of things. So, that's where that bubble is going to get pretty massive. And I don't know what that pop's going to look like. I mean, obviously what it comes down to, like, you got to think about this way, is that there were companies that came out of the dot-com bubble that rose to huge prominence that are still around today. A lot of them were trash. What's going to be the trash out of this? Like, what's going to survive?
Yeah. Well, most of the companies were trash, and the companies that survive the dot-com bubble were basically hardware companies. They're the ones who actually did well.
Yeah.
So, you know, graphics like Dell, people that put together hardware did well, and all the rest of the miscellaneous, you know, dot-com stuff just disappeared.
Yeah. I mean, you had, it was pure lunacy during that time. If anybody had a dot-com to their name or had a dot-com to their name, like, people were just throwing money at them.
Yeah. You can do an initial public offering and you just make money hand over fist. I mean, Mark Cuban is a great example. He had some stupid internet radio thing and he sold it for, I don't know how many million dollars. It was like hundreds of millions of dollars, and he went and bought the Dallas Mavericks with that money, and he's still relevant, but his company died.
Yeah. Well, it was basically, it was truly just a radio on the internet.
Yep.
Like, it was sports, wasn't it?
It was something along those lines, but it doesn't exist anymore, so it doesn't even matter what it was.
Yeah. But he cashed in.
But he cashed in. Cashed out right at the proper time.
I mean, I think even Elon Musk, that's when he sold a lot of his stuff, was during that time too. That's how he started his big rise.
Yeah, PayPal and stuff like that. So, I don't know. It's just fascinating. And so, you know, with the previous dot-com bubble, I mean, is really betting against NVIDIA the greatest idea? I don't know.
The only reason why I'm like, I don't know, NVIDIA is they're like the only name out there when it comes to the chip manufacturing. AMD's out there, but they don't seem to have the market the way that NVIDIA does.
Especially with the AI, you know, chipsets and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, as AI continues, like whether or not, like, there obviously there's probably a lot of toxic sludge in the markets right now due to AI. But having said that, I mean, companies are investing so heavily into AI that I think, like, somebody like NVIDIA, who's actually making the chips that are necessary to run the AI, I don't know if that's a good idea to short them. I mean, if it does pop, that's a hell of a buying opportunity.
Yep.
Because I can't imagine that NVIDIA is going to be like, well, somebody else is going to make the chips now. Like, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. My company, like the head of one of our divisions, been with the company a long time. She runs Cessna basically, which is our North American arm. She just got promoted into, an AI role within the company. So yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I think AI is hurting the job market at the same time. I think we've talked about this before. I have had one friend that I know of that has lost his job directly because of AI. And I wonder how many more are going to be coming on the block. Like, but what is that going to do to people?
That's actually the really scary component. It's like, when this gets turned on, I mean, what jobs are going to be gone?
So many jobs are going to be gone. Oh, and the crazy thing about this is that I think the CEOs think that they're immune to whatever is going to happen with this AI thing. And I think that's an incorrect look at it as well. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if your first jobs are going to be any of your thinkers' jobs, probably that'll be going, or it's going to be going through an advisement of some type. I don't know. And what does that look like? What happens? Like, when the companies, like big corporations, when they start laying people off because of AI, like, what are they going to do? Are they going to be like, okay, well, you're going to go into early retirement and we're going to pay you off X amount of dollars. Which, I mean, it'd be great if they were like, okay, we're going to go ahead and pay out your 401k at exactly what you probably would have made had you stuck with us for the next 20 years. That's not going to happen.
No.
What happens to all these people?
I don't know. And the scary thing is if you look at some of the recent job cuts and that announced across different companies, and this includes Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, you know, a lot of big companies, they've been cutting staff over the past few months.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think things are about to get ugly. I really do.
I do too. It's a scary time, and I think everything is going to be changing so quickly. There's going to be some winners, man. This is going to be, so I think what's going to happen is you're going to have such a gutting of the middle class, the people that have the assets and the proper assets. You're going to all of a sudden become wealthy. Boom. The people that don't have the right assets that are currently in the middle class right now, they're going to be poor.
Yep.
The have and the have nots, like, that gap is going to get huge.
No, it's widened quite a bit in the past 5 years, and I think it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, then it becomes French Revolution time all over again, and then you'll have somebody like a Napoleon rise up and off with their heads, and scary times. But I do think Bitcoin will prevail eventually.
Yep.
Honestly, hard assets, we've talked about. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we do this podcast. Hard assets, you need to have them.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have when that money printer goes online, where do you think that money's going to go? It's not going to go to your pocketbook. Like, it's not going to go to the people on welfare. This government shutdown is showing you that they don't give a darn about anybody that's down there that is relying on the government to survive.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how that sounds, right? Like, because I'm not necessarily one that says, I believe that people deserve a, you know, a helping hand, but not necessarily a handout. But like, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. This is, what are we entering into now with the government shutdown? Is it 5 weeks?
Yeah, I think we're past 5 weeks now. It's the longest one in history.
Yeah. And they don't seem any closer to coming to a deal.
Not yet, they don't.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. Final thought, though. What do you think? Do you think we're done?
I don't know if we're done, but I'm starting to think more and more that we are.
Yeah. I want to say we still have enough energy possibly for one more run, but that all depends on what happens with the rest of the market.
Yep. And, you know, a lot of people say that the four-year cycle is dead. I mean, I've been seeing that a lot. So being a contrarian is kind of just the smart move. And so I say the four-year cycle is still in place. And I think on the last episode, I think I said something about the bull market's going to end at the end of November, at least by the end of next month at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You did say something, I think, pretty similar to that. So,
yeah. And I kind of, you know, I'm looking at that. I'm like, man, maybe I was a little bit more prescient than I thought. Oh, time will tell. Time will tell.
We'll have to see. I mean, I apologize that we missed this last week. I was traveling quite a bit, so we didn't get to record. But as this kind of continues to develop, because I think this is going to be a pretty big make or break month for all of this. If we can regain some ground and hold steady without it just being kind of like a dead cat bounce kind of reaction, then I think that we may possibly have a still like gas for one more run up. But if we start to continue to tank, like if next time we record, we're at 90,000, 89,000, I think we're done.
Yeah.
I think we're done.
I agree. Yeah. If we cross down below 90,000, I think it's game over.
Yeah. I think the market, we're going to be in a crypto winter. We'll have to see how long it lasts, but yeah. Anything else you wanted to add this evening?
I think I'm depressed enough. I'm out.
I know. I still think Bitcoin's a solid buy, but I would say at this point, you may want to wait and see what the market's going to do.
Yep. I agree.
And then we'll listen to Rick and he'll tell you when to buy at the bottom because he's good at calling that stuff. Not financial advice.
Not financial advice. And you know what? It's basically a year out from after the peak.
Yeah.
It's usually not a bad time. So,
yep. I agree. But thank you all for listening. We do appreciate you, and we'll talk to you all soon.